You're listening to
Sounds Around Town.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
I'm your host, Al Loya. Joining me in the studio today is none other than Lindsey Baldwin, former KRUX 91.7 DJ in Las Cruces, New Mexico. In this podcast, we will be discussing the inner workings of a radio station. So, Lindsey, tell us, what was the name of your show?
My show was called Ni Sueños, which translates to Not in Dreams. And I actually did not come up with that name myself. A friend of mine named Gustavo Muniz, who really liked my show a lot and often would come visit me at the radio station, he came up with that name for the show.
Yeah, really cool name too. Mm-hmm. And who was the program director in charge of what was played on the station?
His name was Kirk Chavez, and he is the one who, when I made my demo tape for my show, he's the one who approved it and liked the idea, and his name was Kirk Chavez.
So did Kirk try to control what was being played on your show, or he let you have creative control of that?
No, I had complete control over that. And I also would like to mention the person who trained me initially to be a DJ when I started out as just a rotation DJ doing, normal music show. His name was John Simon, and he was a good friend of mine, kind of a hippie guy from El Paso, real interesting character. But he's the one who trained me to be a DJ in the first
place. So showed you how to use the console and just all the technical side of things.
He taught me the ropes of how to be a DJ.
Well, that's cool.
How to spin a record on the radio.
I understand that your show reached a level of popularity that went beyond the borders of New Mexico. I guess that you must have really worked hard to reach this level of success. How do you think a band or artist can achieve this kind of levels or results from a college radio station?
Well, in my personal situation, I would plan in advance for my shows most of the time. And I would also talk about specific things that were in the Hispanic community, like Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead, things that I thought would probably interest Hispanics. So in relation to a band trying to promote themselves, I would say that they would need to grab the audience somehow with talking about the kind of music they play, what it sounds like, who their inspirations are. And also I would suggest that they not try to overextend themselves. They need to stick with areas, radio stations that are in the radius of where they are. You have to start out somewhere is what I'm saying. You can't expect too much in the beginning.
Yeah. Mailing out a press kit to radio stations could get rather expensive from, what you paid for the CDs, the actual package that you wrap it in to send it, and the cost of mailing it out to the radio stations can get quite costly. I totally agree that limiting yourself to your region or the state that you live in is a good idea. This is a way you can more effectively promote yourself without such a great expense.
Basically, the inner workings of a radio station. You have the radio station manager, and then you have the DJs. And so the manager pretty much is the one who, if you're doing a regular rotation radio show, he is going to give you a list of things that you should play often, or sometimes you have the leisure of playing what you want to play. And in my situation, I had my own radio show that I created, and I played whatever I wanted to play. Now, the typical radio station, you've got your soundboard, the headphones, the control board, the speakers, microphones, the CD player, even a cassette player, and then you have your little list with the regulations from the FCC to remind you what not to say on air, you know, so you don't get in trouble or fined.
Right.
And that's important because a lot of people make the mistake of cutting up on air and making comments that they shouldn't say because you can get into trouble for that.
So did you have a delay that you used so that you could catch things like that?
Oh, they had little ways of, I believe they had, I can't remember exactly.
Filtering out the...
Yeah, they had to have ways of filtering things out. You know, the main thing you're not supposed to do on air is you're not supposed to cuss and you're not supposed to talk about anything sexual or anything perverted, blah, blah, blah. And it's all, everything that people really would like to hear on the air, you can't talk about, obviously,
right, the way
it works. But, so, yeah. And as far as bands trying to get promoted or trying to get their stuff exposed on radio, the best way to do it, at least what I know, what they used to do is they would just bring a demo tape or a CD of samples of their music, and I would play the music for them and then interview them on air and let them talk about their music and
what's going on,
when they're going to be playing and what inspired them, all that, you know, just do a little interview, and that usually would get them some promotion.
And so 91.7, was that a college radio station?
Yeah, it was a college radio station in New Mexico. Las
Right.
Cruces.
And usually the best way to get to the next level is to start at this level, at the college radio station level, because people like you that have their own shows will play undiscovered artist on the radio and hit, you know, at least the masses of kids at the college level. And we were talking earlier before we started recording this podcast that you were actually reaching other parts of the country and other parts actually going into Mexico. Is that correct?
Yeah, because I was there in Las Cruces, which is about 45 miles from the border from Texas and next to Juarez, Mexico. And I was getting phone calls from people in El Paso. I was getting phone calls from people in Juarez asking me about what I was playing and who I was. And they were really enjoying the radio station. And they were calling to, you know, say how much they liked it and how happy they were that there was a radio station at a college. It was just Spanish radio station, because I was, when I started this show, prior to starting the show, I was really surprised that this university, New Mexico State University, did not have a Spanish-speaking radio show, being that I was in a predominantly Hispanic town close to the border, and so I was like, well, this has got to change. So I came up with the idea, and it became pretty successful. I played a lot of Spanish rock. I played everything from Caifanes to Café Tacuba, lots of different music. I also played a lot of folkloric music from Bolivia or other parts of South America. I played Los Panchos. I played old trio music. I had quite a diverse selection of music. And
Who provided the music that you played on the air?
Actually, it was all from my own collection. Very seldom would the radio station had a few things that were mainly like Tejano kind of style music that they supplied me with, but mostly everything was from my own. It was all from my own private collection.
So were they trying to, when you say that they had certain types of music, were they trying to push a certain genre on you?
No, they were not trying to push a certain genre on me, but most people who are not of Hispanic origin, and I'm not even Hispanic, but most people who are not familiar with Latin music assume that it's all Tejano or that it's a certain style. They don't even know, like most people were not even aware that there was Mexican rock bands that were like Maldita Vecindad or Fobia, or rock bands that actually are more alternative, because they just don't know. If a person doesn't speak a language other than their own, they just sort of close.
Shy away from that.
They
right.
They think that, oh, you know, whatever. So.
Right. Yeah, I can understand the concept. When a person sends out a band or artist sends a CD to a radio station, who should they address the CD to?
Well, I think that I used to get CDs addressed to me on occasion, but I think that the real person who they should address it to would be the manager of the station, because ultimately it is a manager, the station manager, who's going to have the say-so over what gets played. That's just the way it works. So I would say that.
So do they listen to the music to see if it has any FCC regulated or controlled?
Often they do. I believe that they do listen to the music first before it's even approved to play, to be able to be played on the air. But not all the time. Definitely not all the time.
So what suggestions do you have for an artist or band to get their music played more often on a station?
Well, if they have their CD and it's on the or album, whatever, and really what they want is for that song to go into rotation, because if it gets on the rotation list, then it's going to be played on a regular basis. So the first step, though, is to get it in the hands of the DJ or the manager, who will then get it to the DJ, because really, once that song is played once on the radio, somebody's going to call and say, "I like that. Who is that? You know, I want to know more about that band." And that's usually the first step, is because you have to get exposure.
If you want to be successful in this business, you have to be involved and call a radio station, have your friends call, have your family call, so that your song gets played or into that rotation, because it's a difficult thing to achieve. And then once you know you get above this level, then you move on to another level of radio stations that you would send your music to. At least that's what I've learned in my experiences. And the next logical step is to go to public radio. Now let me ask you, in your opinion, does a band need to be touring in order to get airplay? I mean, do you feel like it helps their chances?
No, I think that it helps, sure, but it doesn't. It's not a criteria, because from my own experience, there are plenty of bands who are not even well known who would just drop off their promo CD and I would play it, and they weren't even well known bands, or so. No, they don't have to be touring to be able to.
So, do you feel that it helped those bands' career to advance? Did you see any of that happening?
No, I actually did not, but I do think that it helps. Like, I had a few occasions where I would have the band, they would actually come perform live on the show, and I think that that helps, but it really varies from situation to situation. touring certainly obviously can't help. I mean, can't hurt the situation, but it's not a necessity. No, it's not.
Could you give me an idea of how many CDs a general manager or yourself received on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis?
For a regular band, for example, for maybe a regular radio show that's just a rotation radio show, I know that the radio station got, on average, about, I'd say, maybe up to 20, 30 new CDs probably every couple weeks, from around, you know, from all over the nation, not just
New Mexico.
Yeah, or New Mexico. And because, you know, there's all kinds of bands out there who are aiming to get their music heard on college radio stations because they know that that's a good starting point. And so, of course, they send their music to the college radio stations. And usually the college radio station is going to be happy to play it for them because, you know, they like more alternative sounding music a lot of the time, and they want to help these bands. They want to get them promoted. That's what it's all about. So
discovering new acts,
right?
And things of that
nature. It's about discovering talent. So,
so what you're basically saying though is that it's a good idea to be out there playing, so that when you do come into a college radio station show and maybe get an interview or your music played, you could say, well, we're playing at so-and-so club down the street from here on this night, and maybe give away a couple of free tickets to the show or something like that to help get people involved in what you're trying to promote.
Yeah, of course. Of course, that definitely helps. If they're having a show and they want the radio station to know about it or make an announcement about it, then that's going to help the band, and it's going to...
Once you get popular with the college kids and they start spreading the word on you, you can move to a smaller radio station within a city and start promoting there and see if you can't get played there, since now you're starting to build a fan base that's starting to get large. You know, it does take time, but of course you have to kind of maybe limit yourself to a 50-mile radius from your hometown and then do gigs in that area and see how things go and keep moving from there. It's a good idea to limit your profile or your availability to those areas until, you know, you've reached a level of experience and have gotten funds to move forward, you know, to other areas of the country.
Yeah, because you have to start out small. You can't go in there with these grandiose ideas thinking that, oh, my song's going to get played on this radio station and then I'm going to be a success overnight. I mean, it takes time, and unfortunately that doesn't happen for most bands. There's so many bands out there who all have that
same idea.
So it's difficult. It happens for some of them, but if you talk to these bands or read about them, you realize that the majority of them started out small. So they had to...
And they've had to work hard to get to that next level.
Yeah, they did. And you really have to push yourself. You have to get out there and not be bashful about getting exposure, if that's, you know, that's what it's all about.
Right. Getting that music played and out there for the public to hear and comment about. So do you think it's a good idea for bands to have a MySpace account or a website and things of that nature when you do get that spot on the radio, know where to send them to continue to find out information?
I think that MySpace account certainly can't hurt, but I do think that it's been a little bit overly done in a certain aspect, because there's hundreds and thousands of bands out there, and not all of them are that great. But I mean, the MySpace helps with the exposure, and maybe the right person's going to hear it who can get you that right connection, because really it all boils down to having the right connections.
Right.
That's the way the world works.
Marketing,
it's about making connections and exposure.
Let me ask you this. So do you think that it would probably be preferable to have a personal web space account of your own, as opposed to a MySpace, or maybe a MySpace kind of leading to your website?
Yeah, I think that that's a good thing. Like having a MySpace that will lead to your own personal website or account, because that would probably be the best thing.
I kind of tend to agree with you as far as the MySpace account. You know, when you have all these links with pretty girls on the picture, you know, it kind of leads away from the band. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
I want to check out this pretty girl now. And they forget about what they were there initially to check out. So, yeah, I would limit that kind of thing on my MySpace account to maybe things that are related to music.
I would recommend that for people who are just trying to do to promote their bands on MySpace, I would tell them that they really need to have more simple type accounts, because all those other things become encroachments to what they're really trying to do. And if it's trying to promote their music, then yeah, all these links to these pretty girls and these other what have you, I mean, that it becomes so bombarded with information that you're losing your audience.
Right.
So
exactly,
just to keep it to the point, if that's what you're trying to do, is get your music exposed. So.
Right. Yeah, I think we've covered a lot of good information on how you can get radio airplay on a college radio station, and what steps to take to move yourself in a upward moving direction in this field, which is so full of competition that it's really kind of ridiculous. But I mean, hopefully this interview with you has helped change the mindset of people listening to what to do and what not to do in order to get promotion. You know, it's a good thing to have a MySpace account, but if you don't run it right, it could backfire on you too. So
certainly can. That is true. You have to be prudent about what you put on your little MySpace account, because you never know who might be looking.
Right. Don't want to get parents jumping down your throat. Or maybe you want to get parents jumping down your throat just to get some TV time then.
Yeah.
So good publicity, bad publicity, as long as it's publicity that you're getting is not such a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Look at Paris Hilton there.
Oh, yeah.
And Britney Spears with her panty shots.
The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Hey, that's what sells, isn't it?
Yeah, sex sells.
Yeah, so let's not deny that.
This is a tasty burger.
If you like that kind of thing. If you have any comments about this podcast, please feel free to go ahead and send those to us. You can actually leave us a recorded message if you go to wisel@podomatic.com, or you can just email us at srtmail@earthlink.net. We're looking for you to get involved in letting us know which amplifier you prefer, tube or solid state. Here's an example of me playing through a clean tube amp, no reverb, nothing but guitar. This guitar is a Les Paul, and it's being played through a clean tube amp. Now here's an example of me playing the same guitar through a Tech 21. This is solid state amp, and it's the clean channel. No reverb, just guitar.